Amen. Good morning. Happy 2025. So long. Loved you. It was great. Looking forward to 2026. Amen. It's great worship today. For those of you that don't know this little fact, this location is the epicenter of the population density of the Brazos Valley, this like particular area. And it's always intrigued me that this is the space that God has provided for us, and literally, our worship is so important. Your worship's not just about you. It's obviously foremost for God, but it is one of the best things that you can do for yourself is be a worshiper through the week, but also uniquely as the body comes together. Something beautiful happens when we worship, and we are literally just in the center of the population density. When we lift up worship and we enthrone him and we prioritize the kingdom of God in this particular space, we don't really have eyes to see what that does to the valley, to the Brazos Valley. So my hope, my prayer, my encouragement, I'm going to shame you in the best possible way. Be committed to worship in 2026. Show up early, be in your spot, worship before you get here, and then be ready to worship when you're here with his body. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? All right. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. That's where we're going to spend our time today. I'm going to have a couple scriptures that I'm going to read beforehand, and just to sort of set the stage, as it were. But you can go to Ephesians chapter 1. The first scripture I'm going to share is out of Psalm 11. This is verse 1 through 3. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? So this is, the psalmist is writing and he's saying, we want to take refuge in you, God. For behold, the wicked bend the bow and they have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the heart of the upright, or at the upright in heart. If foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So the psalmist is posing a question. He's saying in the midst of our enemies, we recognize that the enemy is going to attack our foundations. And if our foundations are not secure, then obviously there's going to be problems. So if you further read that chapter, you'll see a lot about God's presence and the safety of God's presence, and also God's vengeance on the ungodly, that there is a point in time where God moves against his enemies. Amen? That's worth an amen. I don't know about you, but I've got enemies. You've got enemies. We have enemies. We need to be committed to his presence, and God's promise is, yes, although the enemy is going to attack foundations, understand God is going to have a response to it. Now, we've thrown the term out deconstruction a few times lately because it's sort of a popular word. It's something that's sort of trending. And as we've mentioned previously, it's the reverse of the testimony. As Christians, we need to be recalling and recounting the good things that God's done. It builds our faith. So you've got a story of God's goodness, and you need to share that story, and you need to remind your own soul that God's good, because foundations are under attack. It's what the enemy does. So Jesus says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 47, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation in rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent came and struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So what's Jesus warning us? The world is going to shake. Things are going to shake. But if you build your house on his word, if you lay good foundations, and if you dig deep, when the shaking comes, your house will withstand it, your life will withstand it. So we're forecasting a little bit. Some of the things that I want to be teaching about in 2026, reviewing foundations, critical practices for us as Christians. How do you lay a good foundation in your own soul to withstand the shakings of life? How does it, what's the church foundations built on? What are family foundations that we can build from? 2026 is going to be a consequential year, folks, but also a transformative year. It will be shaking, as we've seen lots of shaking over the last few years, but God is always up to something good. So, and historically, and I think even on a personal level, many of you could say this, it's the times where you have been challenged where God's done the most work in your life. So, shaking's going to happen. Amen? Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to close this year out with some foundational truths to carry you into the next year and hopefully just sort of visit this theme that we're going to be continuing to revisit over the first, you know, few weeks or months of the year. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Where have you been blessed? How many blessings? Every. We've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So has God held something back from you that you needed? No. So Paul's affirming to the Ephesians that you have been given everything that you need. Verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. My king's righteous. You can say back to me, my king is righteous. Okay, all hail King Jesus. Okay, you can stop now. Could be a long Sunday that way. All right, just in the first two verses here, he's thrown out some things that deserve some examination. He's beginning speaking to the Ephesians, and he's beginning with praise, okay? Always a great foundational truth or always a great introduction. And he's saying this, that you have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So right now, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a believer in Jesus, you're living life in two different places. Like this is the spiritual truth that Paul throws out, that we have to understand that spiritual truths are deeper and more meaningful and more real than what we might think of physically. Because physically, we might think, how could we be in him, but I'm living life here on planet Earth? Right? So what's the truth? You are living life here on planet Earth, working life out, working the plans of God out in your life in this imperfect, fallen, and corrupt world. This world is not as God intended for it to be. Nevertheless, he says every blessing that you need is already yours in Christ, and it's secure in him. So he's pointing to this somewhat mentally hard to like geolocate, but what you're saying, Pastor, that Paul's saying here is that you're here, but you're also with him, and he's seated next to God the Father. He is in the heavenly realm. So right now, you're living things out on planet Earth, but you're also absolutely secure in Jesus next to the Father in the center of the universe. The throne is the absolute center of everything that's ever been created in thought, in word, and deed. It all begins there, and it's all held together by God's will. And Paul says, that's where you are. So as you navigate life and as you deal with the attacks on the foundations and we deal with the reality of evil in our day and time, we understand God has equipped us with everything and we're completely secure with him right now. That's the truth. That is what is spiritually true. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So the Bible throws out things that on a human level, we sort of have to apply some imagination to fully grasp. Everything that you need has already been given to you. Every blessing that Jesus has secured for us is contained in him. You're walking out life on planet Earth. He's seated next to God in the heavenly places. And to throw another hook into it, the Bible says something strange like, before the foundations of this world, the Lamb of God was slain. So before you ever entered into sin, before Adam and Eve ever chose to experiment with what is life outside of God's will, what would it be like to live outside of the boundaries that God's established for us? Before Adam ever fell, God had already provided salvation for us. Before you ever chose sin, before you ever, in thought, word, or deed, or in inclination, ever did anything contrary to the holiness and righteousness of God, God's already provided the forgiveness and the redemption before it ever even happened. So lock these things in. This is going to end well, folks. This whole thing is going to absolutely end well. In verse 5, it says, we were predestined to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. The king has a pleasure. He has things that make him happy. It made him happy to draw all of us close to him in Christ, to redeem everything that had been deviated from what he knew was the best for man in man's ability to make choices and in man's choice to live outside of God's will. God's already provided the forgiveness. He has already adopted us back into the family. It was his will, but it was also his pleasure. See, this is the subtle nods to the heart of the Father. He didn't grudgingly provide forgiveness. He didn't grudgingly provide the Christ. He didn't, I guess we're going to have to fix this mess. Because none of you parents have ever felt like that with your kids. None of you have ever approached something like that and just thought, oh, it is my good pleasure and will to make up for this mess that my children have created. No, it's not just because it was the right thing to do. It made him happy. Because that's his character. He loves us. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one that he loves. Verse 7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. We've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, and beyond that, he has lavished this on us, this great grace. Amen? In verse 9, it says, he has made known the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. What is one of the recurring questions that humans deal with? What's God's will for my life? Don't answer that question without revisiting these foundational truths. God is good. It was his pleasure to save you. It wasn't grudging. He loves you. He drew you back in. This was all out of his heart of love. Redemption. And that redemption cost something. It cost Almighty God his own blood. So, the will of God cost something, and it was expensive. In verse 9, he's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment. What's his ultimate goal? He's about to reveal it all here. What's the will of God? He's about to reveal it here. To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. What is the whole point of this thing? God is bringing this created realm, this world, this experiment in image making, this experiment in entrusting a created being with an aspect of God and part of his fabric and character, which is the ability to choose. You can choose. You can choose what your 2026 is going to be like. You can choose. You can carry things over from 2025 that need to be left in 2025. Or you can approach this new year absolutely confident, knowing there is an eternal purpose that is being worked out and God has invited me into it. This is so much bigger than our sins being forgiven. God is working out a great purpose in our day and time, and he invites us to be a part of it. God's bringing everything under the rule of King Jesus. And his kingdom is ever moving forward, and everything that God wants, he gets. So he has moved. So what is the purpose of God in your life? Well, understand your purpose is being played out underneath his purpose, which is to bring all things in heaven on earth together under one rule, King Jesus. Keep that in mind as you watch the markets do what the markets do. Keep that in mind as you watch nations rise up against each other and uncertainty and all the different things that we see as part of the human experience. God is ultimately bringing everything under the rule of King Jesus. Verse 11, in him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Verse 13, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So Paul is laying things out in Ephesians. He's identifying God's character. He's identifying the need for a sacrifice. He is identifying that the world is not perfect, but understand this. Everything that's happening is moving towards this central truth. Jesus is Lord of everything. Don't be fooled by what you see with your eyes about what's going on with the world. God's moving things towards his desired end, and he welcomes you into the process. He welcomes you into this. Verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to bring all things together in heaven and on earth under one head, even Jesus. So, with the understanding that the enemy likes to attack foundations, because if he can change the foundation or he can cause people to lose confidence in the foundations, then the enemy has room to play. Understand, God's bringing everything forward under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Paul summarizes this, and scripture says some things about you, and these are absolutely foundational. If you lock these things in, when the world shakes, you'll be fine. It's okay for things to be, you know, have moments of uncertainty. This is why what Karen's talking about is we need the body. We don't do this very well on our own. We do this much better with other people. God has this unique idea that in your imperfection, there is room for the human to cry out to him for help. And in the mystery of how he puts his body together, when I'm weak, somebody else is going to be strong, and somebody also needs me. The kingdom of God is bigger than just the forgiveness of the sinner. God is moving things forward with a much greater plan. And often that plan seems challenged under the shakings of this world, but actually that's evidence that the kingdom of God is moving forward. So scripture says some things about you that are foundational, that you need to lock in, that you need to understand. as you navigate what's God's will for my life, understand that's underneath this greater truth. God's moving everything under the kingship of Jesus. See, this is somewhat hard for us as Westerners because we don't live under kings. So when we think about his, not just his will, but his good pleasure, you know, if the king just one day didn't have good pleasure about you, that could significantly change the course of your life. Oh, but I'm a citizen. I have rights. Well, actually, in the kingdom of God, you don't. You have privileges. Oh, you might have rights in some sense, but understand what I'm saying. This is bigger than just forgiveness. God's moving this to an end. Everything needs to be under the rule of Christ. Within us, within Adam, within that which has not been perfectly transformed in us, the human reaction to rule is sometimes not the best reaction because we've seen what rule can look like in this imperfect world. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I don't want anybody planning the course of my life. I want to be the one who decides the course of my life. And in a sense, that's true, but it's underneath his kingship and lordship. When we lock in that God is perfectly good and everything he does is ultimately going to be for our benefit, then we can move into the kingdom agenda with a different confidence. Hello? God has great things planned for you and to do through you in this next year. It is not just about, oof, I am glad that God's not mad at me. I'm glad that my sins are forgiven. That's a wonderful truth, but there's bigger things at play here. Foundational truth. Paul lays this out so succinctly in just a few verses here in Ephesians. You are blessed. Foundational truth. Lock it in. At your worst moment, at your moment of anxiety, at your moment of grief, at your moment of this is not turning out the way that I expected, understand this. You have been blessed. And the proof of that blessing is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Absolutely foundational. In him we have forgiveness through his blood. Blood was necessary in order for us to be in a relationship with Jesus. And beyond just, hey, debts are forgiven, you're blessed. You're really blessed. Oh, well, you don't know my family story. You don't know my family of origin. You don't know what's been going on in my life. You don't know. You don't know. I don't know, really. He does. You're blessed. I don't feel blessed. You're blessed. I feel blessed because I've been doing good lately. I've been having my quiet time. I've been listening to worship music. I didn't cuss in traffic the other day, and I wanted to. No, beyond that, I'm blessed. Things are moving towards a perfect rule under King Jesus. This is our opportunity to engage in the kingdom business and the kingdom work. What is your 2026 going to be like? Well, it's going to be blessed. I know that. Amen? I'm blessed. Some of you need to exercise this as a discipline. This is called the transforming of the mind. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. There's scriptures that seemingly kind of run contrary to this idea of like perfect grace. There is scriptures that allude to there's a participation that's required. He says things like, take off the old man and put on the new man. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There. Understand this. God has given you every blessing, but there is also a mandate on you to engage his will and his plan. You're blessed. I don't feel blessed. You're blessed. I don't want to be blessed. Well, too bad. You're blessed anyway. You're blessed. I'm struggling with finances. My relationships are difficult. What? No, all true. Humanly, there's a greater truth that as a follower of Jesus, you have access to. You are blessed. Not just a week, ooh, bless you. You know, like it can be a cliche. I get it. Christians are good at cliches. We use them frequently. But beyond that cliche, it is an absolute ironclad spiritual truth. You have been blessed. No matter what difficulty you're facing, you're blessed. No matter what difficulty you may be facing, this is going to have a good end. You are blessed. Secondly, what does the Bible say that's foundational here? What's Paul saying? You have been chosen. You have been chosen. He chose you. Of all the times you could be alive, you're alive now. And you're chosen. That's got some beautiful implications. He chose you to be holy and blameless. He chose you to be alive at this point in time. He chose you to do the good works that have been prepared in advance for you. You've been chosen. Chosen is kind of a beautiful thing because that goes beyond obligation. It's bigger than religious duty. It's bigger than forgiven. You've been chosen. He chose you. A scandalous truth for you to consider. He might actually like you. We might think of love as an obligation, but it says he chose us. He didn't need us, but he wants us. He wants you. He chose you. You're blessed, and you've been blessed with everything in Christ. Fully, eternally secured in him. Understand, if you're new to us today, because we always have some new people, the beginning of time is that end of the building. Eternity is over there. It's on that side of the building. This is the cross. This is what changed everything. You're absolutely secure with him and blessed, and we're moving from here to there. Amen? Thirdly, you have been predestined to be adopted as sons and daughters. Predestined, which means he figured this out a long time ago. A long time ago, he was thinking about you. A long time ago, he was making plans for you. Before this whole thing ever started on a human level, God had already provided redemption. It worked itself out in real time when Jesus was incarnated in the earth, and we've celebrated this in Advent, and Jesus came to earth to model for us what it means to have a relationship with God, and also to be the perfect, obedient son who could be a perfect sacrifice within which God can say, I'm starting a whole new family now. And guess what? I was thinking about you a long time ago before you were ever born, before you were ever even thought of. I've predestined you. I chose you. Predestined is a loaded word. I wish I had more time to kind of dissect it. It's a word we frequently use incorrectly in the body of Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Justin. Thank you. Appreciate that. You've been blessed. You have been chosen. You have been predestined. He was thinking about you before you ever did anything contrary to his will. You are his plan. Fourthly, he's redeemed you. He's redeemed you. By his blood, you have been bought back from your former master to serve a new master. You've been redeemed. The kind of, I don't know what the right word is, the squeamish among us, or those who have been living in the comfortable insulation of the Western world where we don't see how cheap life can be around the world and how cruel humans can be to each other. We do see it, but we're insulated from the depth of what we can see in other places, just how cheap life can be. There's, you know, did it have to be such a bloody end? You know, there really is, maybe, just take it from me. There are segments of the body of Christ that struggle with this idea that Jesus had to suffer, that blood had to be shed. Could it have been done some other way? I don't know, but this is how he chose to do it. part of the fabric of the created world is that the wages of sin is death. When sin happens, someone's going to die. It's just how the world has been framed. We didn't have the capacity to pay for our sin. The wages of sin is death, and in sin, we'd be separate from God. God said, I'm going to change this. I'm going to redeem my people, and I'll do it through the shedding of blood. We sing songs about the blood of Jesus. We recognize that this is a scriptural reality. If anything, understand the need for there to be suffering and for there to be blood. If it communicates anything to you, I hope that it communicates to you how awful sin is from God's standpoint. It should clue us in to the absolute holiness of who God is, that when sin happens, the wages of it are so severe. Suffering and blood were part of the redemptive process. He redeemed you by his blood. He brought you back from your former master, which was sin, and the world systems, and he redeemed you by his blood. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. When we refuse to let redemption take its full measure in our souls, we're missing out on God's best. When there's a little part of our heart that still struggles to say, I'm going to do better and maybe I can be approved. I'm a performance guy. Anybody? Like, this is like a 12-step confession. Yeah, I got performance issues. Like, I want to fix it. I want to try harder and do better. Our best efforts always are going to fall short. What we couldn't do for ourselves, God did for us in Jesus. By his blood, you've been brought back. Foundational. You're blessed. You're chosen. You've been predestined. You've been redeemed. Could God have done this some other way? I don't know. But he literally chose the most precious thing that he could use to save us. Does that give you any hint about how much he loves his people, how much he loves his image, how much he wants to see his image fully seen in the earth? We've been redeemed by his blood. Lastly, you've been forgiven. All debts canceled because of his lavished grace. Forgiven. Quit rehearsing your past mistakes. Quit indulging your performance issues, your religious desire to cover up and make it seem like you're doing great when you're not. We keep it real around here, folks. We keep it real. Redeemed and forgiven. And moving towards this wonderful end. Chosen, predestined, all that God has for us. Now, I think the power of blessing is such a beautiful thing. We're almost done, so where's our worship? There we go. Thank you, Justin. What Paul lays out for us here is critical truths. These are foundational truths. These are the things that the enemy wants to attack or confuse. Have you ever noticed how many issues that there are in the world where two groups of people are applying slightly different meanings to the same word, and it just creates ongoing confusion and people talking past each other? When you see that, understand the enemy is at work somewhere. And I mean, there's a lot of different arenas that we could kind of talk about how the enemy does this kind of thing. But when notice that the meaning of words is critical. And so those that would, let's take abortion, for instance. They don't say, hey, we're pro-death. What do they say? They're, we're pro-choice. Oh, the other side says, oh, well, we're pro-life. Inherent confusion. I mean, we're applying some meanings, and in that's confusion. Satan loves to do this, loves to do it in the political realm, loves to do it in the religious realm, loves to do it in regards to these foundational truths. Hey, you're blessed. It's a fact. You have been chosen. It is a fact. Satan will do everything to convince you that maybe you're not quite as blessed as the Bible says that you are. Or for some reason, he really kind of likes Jesse just a little bit more because things seem to be going well for Jesse and I'm struggling. You're both blessed. No room for differences of meaning here. You've been chosen. You're not an accident. This is this day and time that we're in, and who you are is no accident. You have been placed on the earth for a reason, and God has chosen you. Has he chosen me? It seems like he's chosen Karen because she's got a great voice, or he's chosen Kevin because he's really smart. Everybody's chosen. There are things that are part of God's portion for you to do in this life that are unique to you. Good works that God has prepared in advance, and they're for you. You are not exempt. The kingdom of God longs to express itself, not just for you, not just in the earth, but through you. You've been predestined. God's chosen you a long time ago. It was his choice. He wants you. He likes you. He knows exactly how you're made. He knows what your unique contributions can be. If we were all pattern after what we deem the most gifted among us, we will miss the beauty of his body. There is a grace in your life that desperately needs expression. And it's a grace that's going to be a blessing to someone in your life because that's how God orders this. He's working these things out to an end. Everything brought underneath the lordship of Jesus, where you have been forgiven, where you have been redeemed, your story is critical to somebody in your life's journey. What God has done through you is an accomplished grace that needs its expression. The world needs it. In the same way the valley needs us to be a place of worship and a place where we're committed to God's presence, God has chosen you, and there's a grace that needs to flow through you to somebody in this fallen world. You have been redeemed. Any conversation that somehow questions what... Theologians use funny, we like to use words with lots of syllables. Substitutionary wrath, other phrases like this. When somebody is struggling with this, it's what the Bible says, folks. It is what it is. God's holiness is real. The wages of sin is death. Blood was required for us to be redeemed. Anything that diminishes that is taking something away from the gospel. Forgiveness. I think this is the one where Satan has as much fun with us as any of the other foundational truths that we've talked about today. We can tie ourselves up in knots. Why does he forgive me when he knows I'm probably going to sin again? Don't second guess it. Don't doubt it. Don't dwell on your past mistakes. Don't dwell on your past sins. Don't measure yourself against other people. You're forgiven, chosen, redeemed. Amen? All right, let's stand up. I love the topic of blessing because it's broad and it's far-reaching. and God speaks about blessing in such concrete, absolute, and far-reaching terms that it's beautiful. You know, you're blessed in the heavenly realms right now with every spiritual blessing. Your life is secure in Christ. If you've given your life to Jesus, your eternity is secure. Nothing's going to change it. You've been blessed, and you will continue to be blessed, and you will be a blessing to others. And part of the responsibility of the body of Christ is to literally be the givers of blessing. In the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 6, it identified one of the roles of the priest, and that was to put God's name on the people so that they would be blessed. And it was a unique responsibility given to the priests. It's how they managed the religious flow of the covenant that they were living in. We now live in a new covenant, and it says we're a priesthood of kings. It's a phrase that's not neatly translated into English. We're a royal priesthood. It means we're kingly. We have the shared authority of the king in our priestly roles. And one of those roles is we bless people. When I say bless you, it's not a cliche. It's not weak. I'm fulfilling a priestly responsibility and a role. There is a recognition that God's blessed us with everything, but life is tough and I need blessing. And I can participate in being a blessing to other people, not just my words and actions, but literally we can bless each other and impart God's name on each other. And so if you're here today and 2025 has been rough, I just want you to raise your hand. Hey, I need some grace for 2026, if that's you. All right, so if you're new to us, we like to pray for people. And if your hand is up, somebody is likely going to draw close to you and put their hand on your shoulder, and we're going to pray together blessing over you. Amen? So if your hand's raised, all right, body of Christ, find somebody whose hand is raised, and we're going to speak blessing over them, and we're going to impart blessing to them. Why? Because it's a nice kind of Christian kind of, you know, sentiment or thought. Well, it is that, but it's also a priestly prerogative. It's a priestly responsibility. We can speak blessing. And in blessing, financial hardships, sickness, relational, whatever it may be, we don't put any boundaries on God. God can do anything he wants to do. Amen? So, hands are up. You know what? I need a blessing heading into 2026. Number one, you're completely blessed in Christ, and you're about to get blessed by the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we just lift up our brothers and sisters to you here today. And as your priests of a new covenant, we speak your name over them, the name of Jesus, the name under which everything is going to bow. Everything under heaven and earth is going to bow to the rule and kingship of Jesus. So we just, as the body of Christ, we speak blessing. And we say blessing is greater than any economic hardship. It's greater than any physical ailment, sickness. It is greater than any demonic opposition. It's greater than any grief or regret that I keep nursing over and over again. The blessing of God is greater than all of these things. The blessing of God is the name of God, and it is reflective of his love and all that he's done for us. We have been blessed. We've been chosen. We've been predestined. We've been redeemed. We have been forgiven. We speak blessing over our brothers and sisters right now. Over any physical ailment, we speak the name of Jesus. We ask for the life of God that's in their spirit to bring physical healing to their bodies. In Jesus' name, we just rebuke symptoms of any kind. We rebuke any attack of the enemy against them. Lord, any demonic opposition that our brothers and sisters have been facing, any trial, any difficulties that are being faced, Lord, we just speak your name over them and we say that they are blessed, and that blessing is greater than anything that they're facing right now. In Jesus' name. I want you to take 30, 60 seconds, individually pray for those folks. Then we're going to close as a group. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Lord, where there has been lack, where there has been difficulty in resources, we just say, God, you are so incredibly wealthy. You have a resource for your people. Where your people feel like they've been held up, Lord, we say you're a God of breakthrough, and your name is greater than any opposition that can be found in heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen. We bless our brothers and sisters with your name, Jesus. We just extend your rule over every part of their life. We say that your rule is good. We say that they are blessed. All right, let's pray another prayer as a group in closing. As your people, as your priestly representatives, we bless our cities. We bless College Station. We bless Brian. We pray it would prosper. We pray its leaders would be wise. We pray that they would have a heart for the people. We pray if they don't have a heart for the people, Lord, you would replace them with people whose heart is for truth and whose heart is inclined to the people. We speak blessing over our cities. We pray that it would be on earth as it is in heaven. We pray your rule would extend through the places that we live and work in here in the Brazos Valley. We pray for your blessing over the universities. We pray for a blessing over business. We speak your blessing over it. We pray for your kingdom to be expressed in every part of the Brazos Valley, every expression where people are gathered, school and business and entertainment even, and recreation, and all these places, Lord, we pray for your rule to extend. Amen. We pray for the state of Texas. We pray for you to bless our state. Pray for you to place good leaders in position over our state. We pray for you to save us from the dark designs of the ungodly. And we pray for you to place godly men and women in positions of leadership over our state. We bless Texas. We come to you on Texas's behalf, and we pray for the kingdom of God to extend its rule in Texas. We speak blessing over it in Jesus' name. We lift up our nation and we say, God, we desperately need you to move. We are guilty of many, many sins, but Lord, you have been faithful, not because we deserve it, because you're faithful. We pray for great things over the United States in 2026. We pray for godly leaders to be placed in positions of power. We pray for wickedness and ungodliness and corruption to be exposed and judged. We pray for the full expression of the kingdom of God in our nation in Jesus' name. We lift up the nations to you. We lift up Peru to you. We pray for your blessing. We pray for the kingdom of God to move there. We pray for the new workers that are headed to Peru. We pray for Dan and Ruth as they rest and have another kid and rest up and get ready to go back. Lord, we speak blessing over that nation and pray for your kingdom rule to extend over it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We bless 2026. Amen. Thank you for all that you've done in this last year, God. We thank you. There's some things we're leaving in 2025. We're not going to carry into 2026. Amen. Have a great Sunday. Have a great New Year's. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and it will. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Be instruments of his peace and be representatives of his kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go as a blessed people.